ground in Tuam, though there's no sign of either a criminal investigation or any progress on a memorial to mark the spot. Privately, some government officials and Garda sources are disputing that children are buried there at all. Philip Boucher-Hayes is in Tuam to try to establish the facts. Philip, what have you learned?
I talked this morning to a man who has a very, very vivid memory of seeing on two occasions in the late 1950s, early 1960s, burials at this site that I am standing at in the centre of Tuam right now. They were both very, very late in the day in failing light. He said he saw a small number of nuns and a workman gathered around a figure wrapped in a shroud, and that this was placed into the ground, into what we now know to be a disused septic tank. Now, it is, of course, far from the level of proof that's required to get officialdom to spring into action, to launch an investigation of any kind. And I'm getting, as is probably anybody else who's taken a look at this, a strong sense of official reluctance to believe any of these accounts, because they are all, by and large, anecdotal. But there are facts. There are facts that are out there in the public domain that are easily obtainable, and those are what I've been looking at today. To start with, the personal testimony of Franny Hopkins and Barry Sweeney. As 10 and 12-year-old boys, respectively, in 1975, they discovered scores of corpses in the site that I'm standing beside right here. I talked to Franny Hopkins about that this morning.
Back there now would have been overgrown, more or less just a garden that was overgrown. And maybe in there was an orchard there, maybe getting apples out or whatever. I'm sitting on a barrier here one day and jumping off the wall, we felt something hollow. And curiosity got the better of us. We broke it open, discovered that there was bones and a load of bones in it.
Immediately visible once you opened
it? Yeah. They were bare, like, they weren't concealed in it, like, they were just more or less put into it, like.
And how deep did it go?
Probably 8-9 foot. It was a deep tank, but there was an awful lot of skeletons and bones.
And did it appear to you to be bones all the way down, or was there other matter in there? Was there soil?
It was just kind of empty bones, and that was bits of rags or whatever, like. But it wasn't soil. It wasn't that it was a grave. We said that was an earth or something. It was just as if they were entombed in that tank.
And was it dry?
It was dry. I really was supposed to be kind of a bit of, you know, muck or whatever, a bit of, you know, residues that would have been built up over the years, like. They wouldn't have been interned in there in a proper manner from what I've seen of it.
And how much more exploring did anybody do at that time?
But we went off and, you know, the other kids in the street all gathered around and everything. And a couple of days later, there was a priest up here, and the priest, he blessed it. And at the time, shortly after it was in, they went building this estate. And as far as we were concerned, they backfilled it, and we were told not to come here again.
Was there any rhyme or reason or pattern to the way the bones were laid out, or were they just, was it just a jumble, a mess?
Just a jumble, a mess of bones, the easy way to describe it. I put it this way, they weren't placed in a proper manner, like. It wasn't as if they were laid out, or, you know.
And did you get any sense from looking into it what size this tank must have been? Because what we're looking at now is roughly 20 by 30 metre unsymmetrically shaped patch here now.
No, I would say that the tank might have been maybe 20 foot square. You know what I mean? It'd be as much, like.
And you say about 8 or 9 feet deep.
Yeah. It was a deep enough tank, like.
Did anybody ever go down into it? Did anybody ever
Barry
look around further?
Barry went into it, like, we were kind of messing, he kind of half fell into it, and I pulled him out and we ran off. And
Did his feet touch the bottom when he went in?
No, whatever was underneath him was underneath him.
And bones.
Yeah, and I pulled them out. And
on the basis of what you saw and how big you judge the tank to be, do you think that 796 bodies is an exaggeration, or does that sound like it could be possible?
Judging on the size of the tank that I seen, it would be utterly unbelievable that many people would fit into it. But that could have might have only been one of many. You know, like, even to look at the size of that, like, you know, there's no way that you would intern 790 people in an area that small, or even a large area, unless it was a mass burial or a mass interment, whatever you want to phrase it.
They were laid one on top of the other.
More or less, yeah. In what we would describe as a Christian burial or normal burial, no. It was just as if they were put there, you know, quick kind of burial kind of thing, like.
Philip Trehaze is still with me in Tuam. Philip, how can it be proven beyond any doubt that there are 796 bodies in that tank?
Well, can each of the corpses that Franny has just talked about that are buried there, can they forensically be proven to be one of the infants who died in the mother and baby home without digging them up? No, you can't do that. But by a process of elimination using official records, Catherine Corliss, this very tireless local historian, has established that the bodies aren't anywhere else. The bodies of the children that did die, according to official records, in the mother and baby home here, aren't anywhere else, so they must, by a process of elimination, be somewhere and most likely here. I visited Catherine this morning. She laid out on her kitchen table all of the documents for me to scrutinise. Now, I'll tweet a link to copies of them that I have taken during the course of this interview that I'm about to play with her now, so people can peruse them for herself. And she very logically sets out the case for why it is that she believes, and official documents would appear to prove, that there are, if not 786, at least, or 96, a very, very large number of bodies buried in this site.
They're solid proof, because I went into the births, deaths, marriages in Galway, the registration office, and I asked them if they could find any deaths of children who died in the home itself. Now, I told her that I needed the death certs to say that they died at the home to prove that these were the children. And she said, give her a while, that there's probably a few there. But she came back to me a week later. She rang me and she said, no, she said, there is hundreds.
Here is the list, as compiled by an agency of government going through the death certificates from 1925 to 1961 to find those that are listed as dying in the children's home. The start of the list. Patrick Duran, 5 months old. Mary Blake, 3.5 months old. Matthew Griffin, 3 months old. Mary Kelly, 6 months old. Peter Lally, 11 months old. I'm not even a quarter of the way down that page, and there's pages and pages and pages and pages of it. Those are the babies and the children that we know that died. And we know from Franny Hopkins and Barry Sweeney that there were bodies buried in that, in a particular corner of the site of the mother and baby's home. Now, this is a map from 1892 that you have uncovered. What does it show?
Philip, it shows the layout of the old workhouse at the time. And it shows in the corner of the workhouse, a part of the wall is jutting out, and it says sewage tank. Mm-hmm. That was belonging to the workhouse before it closed down.
And if we overlay a map of present-day Tuam on top of that, what does it show?
It shows that where the tank was, when it was in use for the workhouse, this is exactly where the children's burial ground is at the moment.
It where Franny Hopkins discovered all of those bodies.
Where Franny, yes, discovered all those bodies. It's the exact spot, if you look at today's map and the map of 1892, the little graveyard is where the septic tank was.
Now, how do we know that this list of 796 children did not end up getting buried somewhere else in the locality?
I approached the local graveyard keeper, and I asked him to show me the cemetery book. And I went through that. I went through the Tuam one myself with my list of names. Then I wanted to check all the other graveyards and to get the books there. But
you didn't just stop at the Tuam graveyard.
Oh, no,
you went all around the locality.
I had to go. I had to cover the other graveyards, or most of them. And not one name turned up that this child would be buried in those, any of those cemeteries.
Long story short, you have cross-referenced this list, which comes from an agency of government and is really unquestionable in its authority, with the records for other cemeteries in the locality, and you have not found one single name from this list of those who died in the mother and baby's home appearing in any other cemetery anywhere else.
That's right, Philip, that's correct. So those children are buried in that little graveyard in Tuam.
That, or they vanished into thin air?
Yes, one or the other, yes.
Now, any dispassionate, rational assessment of all of that evidence suggests that some, if not all, of those children must be buried here. But this evening, An Garda Síochána is refusing to contemplate that. At 4:15, they sent me a statement saying, sorry, I just have to get my phone here, it's an email. These are historical burials going back to famine times. There is no suggestion of any impropriety. and there is no Garda investigation. Also, there is no confirmation from any source that there are between 750 and 800 bodies present. Now, to believe that to be the case really is to ignore all of the evidence that you have just heard, all of which is in the public domain, all of which was first published 3 years ago and more recently appeared in the Tuam Herald last October. While the government is keen to indicate that it is moving resolutely to deal with this controversy, the position of the Gardaí has not moved since yesterday, when they gave me a statement which said that there was no Garda investigation because
the grounds in Tuam were being surveyed in 2012 and bones were found. They are historical burials going back to famine times. There's no suggestion of any impropriety.
It is apparent that the Gardaí are either deliberately or accidentally confusing two entirely separate sites. There was a dig in 2012 along the roadside at what would have been the front of the former mother and baby home. This is the archaeologist's report on that dig, which did unearth famine-era remains.
18 grave pits were identified, with each containing between 2 and 4 burials. The individuals buried within these grave pits were paupers.
The bodies that Barry Sweeney and Franny Hopkins found in 1975 are 70 or 80 metres away from that roadside site, at the rear of the old mother and baby home, as was reported on this programme yesterday, and as is obvious to anybody who had visited the site.
I'm sitting on a barrier here one day and jumping off the wall, we felt something hollow and curiosity got the better of us. We broke it open, discovered that there was bones and a load of bones in it. It was a mess, burial or a mess interment, whatever you want to phrase it.
They were laid one on top of the other.
More or less, yeah.
It's odd, too, that An Garda Síochána has suggested in its statement to me that
there's no confirmation from any source that there are between 750 and 800 bodies present.
Catherine Corliss's research does not prove beyond any shadow of a doubt that the bodies in the septic tank are the bodies of the 796 babies, but there are bodies there, and there is solid evidence to suggest that they are from the modern era.
They're solid proof because I went into the births, deaths, marriages in Galway, the registration office, and I asked them if they could find any deaths of children who died in the home itself. She came back to me a week later, she rang me, she said no, she said there is hundreds.
Should the Gardaí then not investigate to establish whose those bodies are? Was this an authorised burial site or did the Bonsecour nuns break that law? Were the county coroners informed of deaths when required or did the nuns break that law too? Did the bodies in the septic tank all die from natural causes? But yesterday's statement from the Gardaí is quite firm.
There is no Garda investigation.
Why all of this matters is that an investigation... In 1975, Mary Moriarty was at home in her house, which looked out onto the back of the mother and baby home in Tuam, when she describes a child finding and playing with a baby's skull. Now, obviously, listener discretion is advised when listening to this interview now, as some of it is quite upsetting.
So we went out my back garden and I called over the wall to the child. I knew the child. And I asked him, could I have a look at it? And he said, it's plastic, it's from Halloween. But when I looked at it, I knew it wasn't because it had teeth. So I said, no, put it back wherever you got it because that's the proper skull. It must be from the home. I went out with the lady, my neighbour, and there was two other women in it. And we went down to have a look. And it took ages to get through the rubble and the bushes and everything. And eventually we got in there, three of us. We could see a hole in the ground and... But we were looking down and the next thing, my feet went, the grass was wet and my feet went from under me. And I slid down part of the way down into it. And the women caught hold of me to pull me up and I said, hold on. And I was just trying to get my bearings, my sight, you know, in a dark place and looking. And I could see, there seemed to be rises of steps or something on the far wall opposite me. And... babies were placed in that. You could see they were swaddled up, rolled up in cloth and placed one after another in each raise. And there was quite a lot of them there.
Describe your impression of the space to me. Was it purpose-built? Were there walls? Could you see concrete?
I don't know, you see, because I understood it was a crypt.
You've obviously heard the reports about there being a disused septic tank in the area as well and that might be a possible burial site. D- did what you, the space that you fell into, did that strike you as being like that, or did it seem like something more purpose-built?
I don't know. I cannot answer that, and I won't tell a lie.
What age were the babies, though? Were they newborn, do you think, or were they a bit older?
What I seen seemed to have been newborn babies. Like, I couldn't tell if they were babies or not, but the way they were wrapped, it seemed to me they were.
On the basis of what you saw, though, you made the presumption, did you, at the time, that these might have been or must have been stillborn babies?
Yes, that's what I thought. And that's what the people who was along with me at the time thought as well.
How many did you see? Was it anything like the 796 deaths that we know that occurred
because
there?
Because I didn't see the whole of the place. I only seen the what was facing me that day.
But what did you see? How many did you see?
There was quite a lot in it. Like, there was three or four, I thought, levels, or five maybe, from the ground up to the roof, that was filled with those parcels. They were like little parcels set in shelves.
So if I said 20 to you, would that sound like an underestimation?
Probably underestimated, yeah.
If I said 50?
Maybe still underestimated.
If I said over 100?
Maybe, that's what I presumed was in it. I never realised it was anything more.
Mary and her neighbour were so horrified by what they had found that they started asking questions locally. But by 1975, the Bon Secours nuns still in Tuam in the nearby hospital were too young to recall anything about the running of the home. They did direct Mary, though, to a woman called Julie Devan, who had been a resident of the home and had later worked there. Mary then showed Julie Devan the burial site that she had slipped into.
Oh, yes, she said, that's it. That is the little place where the babies are. And I brought most of them. She says, out there, there's a tunnel. And she pointed back to her left, with her left hand. There's a tunnel coming out there from the hospital part. And that's where we would have carried a baby out, or babies if they were dead, and placed them in there.
This would have been, going by her age, what, something that happened in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s?
Yes, it would have been, because the home closed in 61. And she, at the time, in 75, I suppose she was a woman in her maybe late 60s at the time. She says, I carried a lot of them out of there. And we took that as what was the truth.
You had no reason to disbelieve her?
No, I had no reason to disbelieve the woman.
She seemed credible to you?
Very credible woman she was.
Did she say why they went through the tunnel?
Well, we understood that that was the direct access to it from the hospital, rather than coming out and lifting a laden one into it.
The existence of a tunnel is confirmed in minutes of the County Home Committee meetings from 1940. Local historian Catherine Corliss has established that the committee intended, during World War II, to use the tunnels as an air raid shelter if the need arose.
The County Galway Homes and Home Assistance Committee, at their monthly meeting held in the Children's Home Tuam on Wednesday, decided to prepare a tunnel at the children's home for use as an air raid shelter by the occupants of the home. Mr Corbett suggested that a tunnel in the institution be used as a shelter. And the secretary mentioned, yes, it could be used, and the assistant county surveyor for this area could have it prepared to be used as such.
I've asked around in Tuam, and there are some people who remember either a tunnel or tunnels at the back of the home. Among them, Franny Hopkins, who explored one as a young boy before the home was knocked down.
And it would have been a tunnel that would have been accessible enough for us to run and play in, and we would emerge halfway through the garden or the backfield, whatever you want to call it. And when you came to the end of the tunnel, you could either exit left or right, and you would have emerged out in the centre of the garden.
But not near the actual burial site?
No, it wouldn't have been near the burial site, so it wouldn't have been leading to the burial site. That's the way I would put it.
Suffice it to say, there was a tunnel there. It was accessible at one end from inside the building and at the other end out in the garden.
There's plenty of headroom, and it was plenty wide enough, you know, you could run two or three abreast in it, like. It was a proper tunnel. It wasn't just a makeshift type thing, you know.
Philip Boucher-Hayes is still with us from Tuam. To sum up, Philip, what might be the significance of this additional information that you've brought us this evening?
I think it significantly advances our understanding of what is contained in this plot and what was going on there. It does answer some questions, provides
anecdotal evidence from within the home that the nuns were burying children in these sites. It also raises more questions, though. If that skull did indeed have teeth, it was almost certainly not a newborn or a stillborn baby, but a significantly older child. You also wonder, why weren't the nuns using the cemetery just on the other side of the road from...